This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop.
We're learning more and more every day about the reign of terror to which Harvey Weinstein reportedly subjected the women of Hollywood and indeed aspiring actresses all over the world. Suffice it to say, the allegations are grotesque. While women like Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Lena Dunham, and Glenn Close are now, for some decades later, coming out to say they knew of the stories or were personally harassed by Weinstein, their silence until now will be something we continue to wonder about. There are many problems with this story. Casting couch culture, men who abuse their power, other men who stand by and say nothing. One thing I do know, the problem is not Weinstein's victims. Victims of sexual assault and harassment choose not to tell their stories for various and understandable reasons, and I hope every one of his victims can begin the healing process now that the world sees who this monster really is. But there's another problem here, and it's why so many women like me are angry that Hollywood protected Weinstein's horrific treatment of women for so long. That's because Hollywood and Democrats, the combined self-proclaimed arbiters of what's good for women, have for years insisted that I am bad for women. Conservative women like me have been told over and over again by people like Rosie O'Donnell, Hillary Clinton, Lena Dunham, Michelle Obama, and others that we are the problem with women, that we aren't supportive of women, that we're traitors to women. Why? Because we're not liberal women. Madonna said we didn't vote for Hillary because we were jealous of her. Michelle Obama said conservative women just do what they're told. Dunham called conservative women teenagers that feminists like her must parent. And it's not just women. Liberal men trash us too. Keith Olbermann has called Michelle Malkin a big mashed up bag of meat with lipstick on it. He said of me, I'm the perfect demonstration of the necessity of the work Planned Parenthood does. He now works at Condé Nast, the parent company of women's magazines like Allure, Vogue, and Teen Vogue. I've been photoshopped with a phallus in my mouth by Hustler magazine with the caption, "What would Essie Cupp look like with a dick in her mouth?" Just for the explicit reason that I'm a conservative with whom Larry Flint disagrees.
You know, what Essie Cupp shared, I know it sounds a little rough, but this is what's been going on. And we've been exposed to it, whether it was people in Hollywood exposed to Harvey Weinstein and chose to, you know, sear their conscience. And just, you know, as we talked about earlier with Dr. Gildemeister, that, you know, as a society, we don't blush anymore. Nothing catches us off guard. You know, nothing embarrasses us. It's just like it's okay. And, you know, for me, it's a disaster on this culture. It's such an indictment on our culture that Harvey Weinstein existed for 30 years, that he was able to do this for 30 years. You know, shame on us. And, you know, we can point a lot of fingers, whether it's at other stars that didn't take a stand and come out and point this out sooner. Look, if we're really serious about this, not only do our children need to understand this at an early age, need to be exampled this? But, you know, we've come from a generation, and I speak of this generation that we come in where, you know, we had music like Love the One You're With and the hippie movement, and everything was all casual and unaccountable. And, we kind of passed that through, you know, with our kids, and the kids became the effect of it. And we have, you know, we need to review our standards personally. We need to do some soul checking ourselves to see how we have contributed to this, how we have accommodated the Harvey Weinsteins, and how the women have been affected. And women, for their, you know, they're challenged as well for their part. And I'm not going to be like the other woman that just says, well, you know, women ask for it. I'm not saying that. I mean, no doubt that we are on a, you know, we live in a culture that's on sex overdrive. And, you know, maybe throughout all this, we remeasure ourselves and evaluate and have that Selah, that necessary Selah moment to say, this is not what we want for our kids. This is not the way we want America to be. And let's do something about it. Let's go be that change that we want to see happen.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Back on track, keeping our eye on the ball. I'll tell you, as if there's not enough that we're dealing with here. Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. We got to go overseas. We got to take a look at what is going on here. By the way, in the midst of the pain and the distress and of course now the debate on gun control that we're going here in the homeland, it's like, well, what happened to North Korea along the way? What's going on with Iran and the Iran deal? Well, this is why we got Michael Rubin with us right now, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. Like I said, there's been so much going on. And meanwhile, it's not like Europe or Kim Jong-un has decided to call time out and, stay there having umbrella drinks and quieting down, right?
That's absolutely right. But I guess the lesson learned here is that when you have successive administrations which kicks a can down the road, eventually that road comes to a dead end.
Yeah, and here it is. I mean, we've got lots of roads and lots of dead ends we're dealing with all at the same time. You wrote about recently is should Trump recertify the Iran deal? Bring us up to date. Where are we now?
Well, there's a couple things going on here. The Iran deal, or the Joint Conference Plan of Action, has been signed and it is enforced. But people forget the United States didn't agree to it as a treaty. That there's a compromise in the Senate called the Corker-Cardin compromise. Mm-hmm. And basically, as part of that compromise, every 90 days, the president has to certify not only that Iran is complying with the Joint Conference Plan of Action, and it's the president who certifies that, not the International Atomic Energy Agency, but that in addition, the Joint Conference Plan of Action is still conforms to American national security. And there's a lot of arguments along the way that, hey, Iran really isn't complying with this. While the International Atomic Energy says, well, we haven't found any violation that Iran has engaged in. At the same time, the International Atomic Energy Agency hasn't conducted a lot of the most problematic inspections, including on sites where Iran would be developing nuclear weapons. The analogy I make in my piece is it would be as if saying the National Football League is completely steroid-free because there's no evidence anyone uses steroids. If the basis of that statement was there's been no drug test to show whether or not they have been complying.
Well, and if you're only checking the water boy, chances are you're not going to find it there. So,
well, absolutely. And so this is really a make or break for the president. He deferred this early on in his administration, but now everyone is saying, hey, look, you've got to come to a decision here. Donald Trump has said it's the worst deal ever. But yesterday, for example, Defense Secretary Mattis testified that Iran is working it and it's beneficial. So the question is whether President Trump is willing to face down his defense secretary and, for that matter, his secretary of state.
Michael, you and I have talked about this before. The trajectory of this agreement still cannot be denied. And this is the problem that most of us have with this, is that, you know, we're just kind of, dancing with the devil, if I might use your words a little bit here, because, you know, they're going nuclear. I mean, they're setting it up. I mean, there isn't anything to lead me to believe that they're going to do anything but go nuclear. And we've had the previous president, Barack Obama, and his team say, oh, no, this is to keep them from going nuclear. And you're going, OK, what am I not realizing here? Am I just so ignorant and just so dumb that I cannot see it the way the president, Barack Obama, is seeing it, that it's going to keep Iran from going nuclear, when all indications are, with the shenanigans with North Korea and, oh, yeah, Russia, everything tells me that they're going nuclear.
Well, you know, Bill, you're absolutely right. Just think more broadly for a second. There's a number of countries that have given up nuclear weapons in the past: Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Belarus, South Africa, and Libya. Libya giving up its nuclear weapons program, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And in each case, the international community demanded that they completely eradicate not only their nuclear weapons, but all the industrial base that supported them. Now, what makes the Joint Conference a plan of action different is President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry decided that it would somehow be wise to make this a temporary agreement and to leave Iran with what had been an illegal nuclear program, fully legal. And what the deal actually did was leave Iran with more centrifuges than Pakistan built its entire nuclear arsenal with. This was an agreement to win Secretary of State John Kerry a Nobel Peace Prize, which, by the way, might be announced tomorrow. It's not an agreement which is going to deny Iran nuclear weapons. What kind of agreement has an expiration clause on it?
Exactly. Now, Kerry's going to win the Peace Prize? Is that what you're telling me?
He's one of the front runners. Pope Francis is another, and the White Helmets in Syria who have been helping people. But I believe at 6 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, the Norwegian Nobel Committee will announce the Peace Prize winner. And what I'm afraid is they will announce Mohammad Javad Zarif, Federica Mogherini, the European Union negotiator, and perhaps Secretary of State John Kerry as a way sort of endorsing this deal against the backdrop of Trump's decision to decertify. I'm not sure whether that would actually play into Trump's refusal to recertify the agreement. But either way, another thing to remember, number one, the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, has a horrible track record of just getting things very, very wrong. Putting that aside, if Trump refuses to recertify this agreement, it doesn't void the agreement. It doesn't mean the United States is leaving the agreement or the agreement's no longer in force.
Mm-hmm.
All that happens is it goes back to Congress, and Congress has to debate whether or not to reimpose some of the sanctions. So, in effect, what President Trump would be doing would be restarting the debate. Now, I'm a little bit critical of this simply because leadership isn't simply kicking things down to Congress. At this point, Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief. The buck should stop with him.
And then at that point, let it be dealt with in the courts, maybe?
Well, I mean, there would be no courts if the United States decides to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, does this agreement really aid United States national security or deny Iran a pathway to a nuclear weapon? And, you know, for all the critics who say, hey, this will be horrible for the United States reputation, or that Europeans will never go along with it, remember, the Europeans will always go along with unilateral sanctions. They did under Bill Clinton's administration when, in 1996, he signed the Iran-Libya Sanctions Act. And they did under both George W. Bush and Barack Obama with the financial sanctions, because what it comes down to is whether you do business with Iran or you do business with the United States. They may not like it, but they will follow the path of strength if we decide to assert it.
Yeah, because they need the product anyway, so what are they going to do? What's their option, right?
Well, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Michael, you present an interesting scenario here in the face of, a potential peace prize for John Kerry. I, My thought is, as he walks over the bridge, is he going to throw his Peace Prize medal? He'll hold on to the money, but maybe he might throw the medal into the water.
How would it bless the Iranian foreign minister, who's responsible partly for the death of 500,000 people in Syria?
As you say, it's not like they've got it right all the time, have they?
Not at all.
Without a doubt. Michael Rubin, American Enterprise Institute, and former Pentagon official, is still with us. He'll be with us for another segment. Stay with us. More from Michael after this.
Book Club Radio.
Today we're chatting with Mike Papantonio, leading trial lawyer and prolific author. His latest novel, Law and Vengeance, is a nonstop, action-packed legal thriller. We spoke with him about the book and the real-life issues that inform and inspire his writing.
You know, I've written both fiction and nonfiction books. No question in my mind that fiction is much more difficult. The nonfiction is, you're simply acting really as a reporter in the sense that you're coming up with obviously novel ideas. The kind of books that I've written that are nonfiction are primarily motivational books for lawyers and trying to tell them how they can balance their lives a little bit better between being a father or a spouse or a parent or a spouse, a member of the community, and still being an effective lawyer. Those types of things are fairly easy to write. Fiction is not the case.
On the heels of the critically acclaimed legal thriller, Law and Disorder, comes Law and Vengeance, the latest novel from famed trial attorney Mike Papantonio. Law and Vengeance follows the law firm of Bergman DeCatomas, who is now in the crosshairs of a weapons manufacturer. But this is not a law firm that plays by all the rules. Based on a real case, Law and Vengeance, the riveting new legal thriller by Mike Papantonio, is available wherever books are sold.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
To you. Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280 plus markets that we're in, we thank you for coming along for the ride as we pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And one of the experts that we have with us right now is Michael Rubin, former Pentagon official, American Enterprise Institute scholar, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, your book, it has staying power. I mean, it just continues to be relevant, and even more so, it would seem, during the Trump administration.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case. I wrote the book as an after-action report, really, on episodes of high-profile diplomacy with countries like Iran, countries like North Korea, that don't abide by the norms of diplomacy. And it seems, to borrow that old adage attributed to Albert Einstein, insanity is doing the same action repeatedly but expecting different results each time. Right. Every 4 or 8 years, when a new president comes in, when we have a new Secretary of State with extreme ambitions, we tend to push aside all the doubts which we should have with regard to the sincerity of our adversaries and simply make the same mistake repeatedly.
Well, Michael, you know, to your point here, you would think, you know, reasonable people would look back over the previous 8 years under Barack Obama, who brought every theory out of the lunchroom of college universities, all these wonderful geniuses and their ideas, and said, "Hey, let's go play games here. We got control of the White House. Let's take every one of those theories and let's put it to the test." It would seem. Now,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean.
No. But my point is that there is an obvious scorecard that people are ignoring. Those theories do not work.
You're absolutely right. I actually wrote a piece about a year ago, basically saying that President Obama's actions in the Middle East, Secretary of State John Kerry's, showed just how far from reality Middle Eastern studies, Middle East academia had become in U.S. universities. Because you're absolutely right. What he did was embrace the theories of Edward Said, for example, the late Columbia professor. He had a very naive attitude about our adversaries, about power, and what actually caused many of the disputes we have in the region. And he kept wanting to look for grievances, for something the United States did wrong that we could rectify, rather than acknowledging the problem was never the United States. The problem was the ideology which some of these groups in the region, be it the Islamic Republic of Iran or be it the rise of the Islamic State, had brought into. I'm reminded of a 2006 essay in Newsweek, which was castigating then-President George W. Bush for having talked about the motivating factor of the caliphate. And I think the essay was called George Bush's New Word, and it was talking about how this concept of caliphate was something that existed hundreds of years ago but is irrelevant today. It had no resonance, and George W. Bush was being Islamophobic to bring it up. But now we look at the rise of the Islamic State. Who was right?
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, there's not going to be, I don't know, we'll have to wait for another book, you know, from you, Michael, to kind of straighten out history in this regard. You know, we've been watching the Vietnam series on PBS, which I think is just outstanding. It did an incredible job. And what comes to mind as I'm watching each of those episodes is George Patton insisting and telling Eisenhower, "Let me go to Russia. Let me go to Russia." And they said no. They tied his hands and basically put him on, you know, on timeout for the rest of his career. And here we are, you know, to this day, we're still dealing with Russian issues. And I'm just wondering, had Patton gone to Russia, what kind of world would we be living in today?
Well, I mean, it's a complete what if yes. sort of question, but you're absolutely right. All I can say is these what ifs. What if we had shown resolve? What if we had shown strength? What if we hadn't diminished the importance of liberty and freedom? Those what ifs are mounting with increasing frequency as it's become sophisticated in Washington speak to do the complete opposite of what logic might dictate.
Exactly. Well, Michael, the CIA is making an interesting prediction right now that is going, you know, almost that that warning shot around the world, this prediction on North Korea that would coincide with Columbus Day on October the 9th. What do you hear about this?
Well, I mean, I'm hearing the same reporting, which I think you're referring to, that North Korea often acts against the backdrop of important anniversaries in North Korea. There's an important anniversary in North Korea, some sort of party anniversary the following day. And so it wouldn't be unwise from the logical standpoint of how North Korea acts, provocation now, in order to be able to announce the next day some sort of great victory or great action against the imperialist warmongers or whatever they call us.
Exactly. Well, Michael, you know, some would think that maybe Kim Jong-un finally got the message. There's enough pressure coming by way of, you know, of China and Russia to hold back Kim Jong-un. But what we're finding out, speaking of Russia, is, you know, a lot of people want to think that it is China that is pulling the strings. But I'm reading a lot here lately that Putin seems to be in control of the puppet strings. Is there any reality to that?
Well, you know, I mean, North Korea shares a border, a lot of people forget, not only with China, but also with Russia.
Russia, exactly.
You've got a situation in which North Korea will farm itself out, play other powers off each other. But here's the thing. The United States, for more than a quarter century, if not longer, has been assuming that adversaries like China and Russia actually want to bring a solution to the North Korea crisis. Whereas from my vantage point, and when you just look dispassionately at the evidence, it seems that China and North Korea especially have been playing a game of good cop, bad cop, where China will solicit concessions and so forth from the United States in order to act productively on North Korea. And that sort of dynamic has got to end. We've got to stop trusting our adversaries, whose goal might simply be to checkmate the United States rather than bring world peace.
Well, and that's what I've been concerned about, and I'm glad you said that, because I was saying that to a friend the other night, is that we have to be careful because we could end up being checkmated in this whole deal. Because it's not like I'm not real warm and fuzzy with China with their military islands and the way they've militarized these islands, you know, miles into the South China Sea and claiming some sort of territorial supremacy?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. China has an expansionistic doctrine, and we need to recognize that. Of course, a new book is out which suggests that China is actually also very, very interested still in reuniting by force, let's say, the Taiwan. They had plans to do so by 2020. We can't turn our backs on our adversaries. And the fact that we somehow believe that hampering the military, that these automatic 10% cuts, rather than giving the president and the Pentagon the flexibility to do what's necessary, is somehow going to bring world peace, it is woefully naive.
Strength through power, without a doubt. Michael, back to the Middle East, if we can. We've got the Kurds, Turkey, and Iran tensions dynamic. Explain to our audience, we got about a minute and a half here, if you can summarize that tension, with especially with the September 27th Kurds vote to for independence.
Well, I mean, remember, the Kurds are split across four main countries, Turkey, Iran, Syria, and Iraq. Actually, Iraq is one of the smallest components of Kurds. And basically what has happened is the Iraqi, Turkey and Iran especially fear the precedent that if Iraqi Kurdistan breaks away, that somehow their own Kurdish minorities will want to do likewise, and you know that's probably true.
Right.
There's another issue going on here, however, in that the reason the United States is objecting to this is the Kurds decided to have this vote not only in the areas that are recognized as Kurdish, but also disputed areas. Now, the question, I know this is something you're interested in, is, well, if the Kurds can have a referendum in disputed territories, can the Christians then have a referendum to break away from the Kurds? Because Christians, frankly, would like to be on their own rather than be under the thumb of either Baghdad or Erbil.
Yeah, but who's going to protect them?
Absolutely.
That's the question. Michael Rubin with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Great insight as always, Michael. Thank you so much for taking us around the horn and you know, bringing us up to date. Appreciate the time, buddy. Take care.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
You got it.
Hey there. career. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347, 800-981-9347, that's 800-981-9347.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we cover it all. You know, everything from politics, history, culture, entertainment, a little bit of football every once in a while. Why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here. You know, it's the season, and one of my favorite times of the year. I love this time of year as we head into the holidays, and there's just something about the smells and, and also, for me, I love being in the kitchen. Cooking up things, the smells of the season and everything about this time of year, it just starts to really enhance the senses. You know what I'm talking about? Well, we're very fortunate to have with us a seasoned pro, without a doubt. We're talking, somebody that knows his way in the kitchen, has started at an early age, at the age of 13. Michael Chernow has been involved in the restaurant industry as early as the age of 13, after receiving degrees in culinary arts and restaurant management from the French Culinary Institute. He, along with his old friend Daniel Holtzman, opened the meatball shop in 2011. And also, he's the founder and co-owner of Seymour's in New York City as well. Michael Chernow is here to show us home cooks how to make delicious recipes with ease. Michael, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. As I said, you know, it's the season, you know, where your senses seem to be increasing with the, the smells of the season and, of course, especially in the kitchen, huh?
Oh, I mean, fall is probably the best season for cooking, for throwing on a nice wool sweater, for getting cozy, sitting in front of the fireplace. Everybody puts their fireplaces away in the summer and the spring, and the fall weather really sort of makes everybody come together. I got to say that one of my favorite things to do as soon as the weather starts to turn is pack up the car and do some apple picking, and maybe you get the very tail end of some strawberries and berries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you get some apple picking, you get some pears, and you just stock up for the winter. The ingredients to cook with in the fall are just absolutely spectacular. And today I actually made one of my favorite things to cook. You were saying earlier, the smells and the feeling of fall. Well, I cook a soup, pretty regularly in the fall that sort of embodies the fall flavors. It's a butternut squash and, an apple soup. And I use, Granny Smith apples. And I cook everything down with some onions, and then I add some fall herbs and spices, some brown sugar, some maple syrup, some cinnamon, some cloves, some star anise, I cook it all down, and then I blitz it all together in the blender, and then I finish it with a little creme fraiche, and it is spectacular.
Oh, wow. You're teasing me here, Michael. And all of our listeners, we're all, and you're right. There's something about the fall season in soup, huh? And and you have a couple of go-to soups to go to. Oh my goodness, it is it's a real special time. So for some of us,
you can find a recipe for that soup on calphalon.com. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, yes, and we'll remind them again because I think I cut you off again. But let's talk about first things first. What's the first step to prepping our kitchen for fall cooking?
Like mentioned before, when the fall weather starts to kick in, everybody starts to come a little bit closer and step inside the house as opposed to being outside in the spring and the summer. Mm-hmm. And so when you step inside, you start paying more attention to what you've got going on inside, and then you might notice that you're a little cluttered in there. So I love to kick off the fall with a little fall cleaning and organizing. I open up my cabinets. I get rid of the stuff that I'm really just not using, and I try to organize a bit. And I'm standing in front of one of the coolest products out. It is the Calphalon Premier Space Saving Nonstick Cookware Set. Mm. And this cookware set stacks and nests in any order. So it's a 10-piece set. And they stack perfectly together. They have a little locking mechanism that keeps everything in place. I've been working with this set for the last month since it's launched, and it's got to be one of the coolest cookware sets I've ever worked with, and the highest quality. I mean, this is a nonstick cookware set. It's got a three-layer hard anodized construction, so you can use metal utensils on the nonstick, like metal spoons, metal spatulas. It is dishwasher safe. The handles of this cookware set are heat resistant, and the cooking is done is an even cooking, so you don't have to worry about hot spots. Walking into the fall, you've got Thanksgiving right down the road, you've got Christmas right after that, and all the holidays of the fall and the winter. You spend so much time in the kitchen if you're anything like me, and so you want to get organized first, and the best way to do it is with your pots and pans. And the Calphalon Premier Space Saving Cookware Set is an awesome addition to any kitchen.
And Michael, I like the color choice. There's lots of color choices that they offer too, right?
Yep,
exactly. I mean, that is a terrific tool to have, very handy there in your kitchen. All right, so, for us newbie-type cooks or wannabe cooks and chefs and that sort of thing, is there such a thing as three of the most important things you should do in the kitchen that will just impress the heck out of everybody? And even though you're still working your way to brilliance, they might think, wow, he may not cook very good, but he is just absolutely spectacular as far as the show goes.
Well, again, it comes back to quality, right? Quality in ingredients and quality in cookware and cooking tools is honestly going to kickstart any cook, whether you're a beginner or an experienced cook or chef, it really begins with quality of what you're cooking with and what you're cooking on.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to start with quality ingredients, because if I start with quality ingredients, typically I end with quality ingredients.
Right.
And that goes the same for my cookware and for my cooking tools, my knives, all the tools that I use around the kitchen. It is about quality here. And so, you know, and it also looks really good. Typically, mm-hmm. when you're working with quality product, they just look great. They look mm-hmm. better. They feel better. They're better balanced. They last longer, you know, and Calphalon makes some incredible high quality products that will literally last forever in your kitchen, and they'll make you look really sharp too.
Well, you know, and it's amazing too how the kitchen during this period of time becomes kind of the central meeting place. And I'll go to friends' houses and the living room, forget it. It's not even used. I mean, everybody is in the kitchen. And when you've got great cookware there to show off and you're cooking and talking and everything, I mean, it just adds to the environment and the experience, doesn't it?
Without a question of a doubt, you know, and honestly, with a cookware set like the Calphalon Premier Space Saving Nonstick set,
mm-hmm.
It's a real conversation piece because
yeah.
it's very unique.
Yeah.
Before I got my hands on this set, I had never seen a stackable cookware set before that actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
This cookware set, the pan and pot lids are flat lids, and they have no handles in the center, so the handle is actually the same sort of handles as the pots and the pans, and so they lay flat. They
wow.
actually
yeah.
lay flat, mm-hmm. and I think the biggest issue that most people run into when their cabinets start getting cluttered is with their pot and pan lids, because they have those big clunky handles in the middle. Nothing can stack on top of them, and you kind of got to work around them, and Calphalon has made that problem go away with this amazing cookware set. And you know, you even pick up a pan, like a frying pan, and you can just feel the quality.
Yeah.
You can feel the quality in the production, you can see the quality in the nonstick, the three-layer anodized, hard anodized nonstick. I mean, it is truly top quality, top of the line stuff.
Well, you've convinced me, Michael. Here, I mean, not gone. I'm gonna have to go out and get some Calphalon stacking, cookware here. This is awesome. Now, also, I'm off to put together the butternut squash soup. I'm gonna have to steal that recipe from you. But again, I can go to your website, right?
Well, you can go to calphalon.com. That recipe, along with any other information that you'd need or want to find out about Calphalon products, you can hop on calphalon.com, and they've got everything there for you, including my recipe.
Michael Chernoff, I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, Michael.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816, 800-540-8816, 800-540-8816.
Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your faith implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know how much we love history here, right? Well, when it comes to historical facts, the truth is not always what we're told in books. Charles Louis de Bourbon always believed his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, Louis the 17th, did not die at the age of 10 in the Temple prison. Thanks to the science of DNA, he can now legitimately challenge history and present the proof to the French government that shows without a doubt Louis the 17th did not die in Temple prison on June the 8th, 1795. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Charles Louis de Bourbon. Charles, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I wanted to say something about the people who have stopped us for 220 years.
Mm.
First, the French government hates the monarchy, especially my family. They're scared to tell the truth. And next, my cousins from Spain, including the king, Frederick, and his father, who's now gone into retirement, they've been members of the court passing phony DNAs and making it very difficult for me. They have crowned a young man as King of France and called himself Louis the 20th.
Mm.
He put a crown on his own head.
Yeah.
I imagine while they know I exist, it's terrible to have a cousin like that.
Yeah,
and they feed Wikipedia. And so Wikipedia is badly out of line. But go ahead with your question.
Yeah, with this information, this is the incredible and I think revealing aspects of DNA is that it takes a lot of those questions and mysteries and brings them all into the light, doesn't it?
Yes. Unfortunately, they've fraudulently two sets of DNA. It's unbelievable. They worked with the University of Leuven, and the first one they did on my great-great-grandfather's grave, and they had my blood, they had my brother's blood, in my cousin's blood, and they didn't test it against the body. The body that lays there is not a bourbon. Mm-hmm. And so they said he's not related to the French royal crown. No, he's a stranger.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he's doing in that grave.
Exactly.
Can you believe it that they would publish something like that?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, this has not been the first time, nor will it be the last, that history is being rewritten. That's one of the fights that we have here, you know, on this radio show, to be honest with you, Charles, is that we pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And I'm sure that there are people that are rather disturbed that you and I are talking. And I've had many of my yes. guests who come on the show and say, do they let you talk about this? And I said, well, this is the beauty of this nationally syndicated show. We are very independent, and we're allowed to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. So just for background purposes, ladies and gentlemen, let me lay this out for you so you understand how we got to Louis the 17th. If you go back, Louis the 16th and his wife, Marie Antoinette, died by guillotine during the French Revolution in 1793. That part of history, well documented, not a problem. But the fate of their son, Louis the 17th, Charles's great-great-grandfather, has been shrouded in mystery now for more than 200 years. The history books say that Louis the 17th, incarcerated simply because he was the future king, died in prison in 1795 at the age of 10 from tuberculosis. But from the beginning, rumors swirled that the young prince had escaped to safety, leaving a substitute to die in his place. Charles, pick it up from there, if you would, please.
Yes, you're very correct. And the false body, the false substitute, died, although they called in doctors and found him to be healthy. 3 days later, he was dead. They had to deliver the boy to the Spanish royal family because the Spanish demanded that he be given to them in order to settle the peace treaty that between France and Spain. And they had somebody waiting, and they couldn't give the boy over because he wasn't there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so here, 200 years later, and now, thank God for DNA proof, you have the information to present, you know, to the world that says the 7-year-old boy that they believe to have died, well, actually 10, then a 10-year-old boy, is not your great-great-grandfather. So what happened to Louis the 17th?
He escaped under guidance, was taken to the girlfriend of the man in charge at the moment was General Barris. And his girlfriend was Maria Josephine de Beauharnais, who later married Napoleon.
Mm.
And from there, he was smuggled to Switzerland, and then finally ended up years later in Germany, where he settled.
Now, he ended up in Germany by way of Canada, did he not?
No, I don't believe he was in Canada.
Oh, okay, I thought he had went through Canada. You settled in Canada for a while, right?
Oh, I did. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I knew somebody in the family did. Okay. There we go.
62 years ago. Yes. 64.
And
64 years.
And that's where you met your lovely wife.
That's where I met my lovely wife. We've been married 64 years.
Well, oh, congratulations. What's your secret?
Just love him.
That's it, huh? No matter what.
That's it.
So there it is. There's the secret, ladies. 62 years of marital bliss, and you just love them. That's what you got to do. Well, Charles, so here you track down the history. You, as was noted in your book, you didn't leave anything for chance. I mean, anything you could turn, every rock that you could turn over and track your great-great-grandfather. So now he's really become the missing king, hasn't he?
He was at one time, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess still, because we finally dug up the body in Delft, where he's supposed to lay, in a national Dutch
cemetery.
What do they call it?
A cemetery?
Monument.
Okay. Oh, right.
No, they made a monument out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that the body there is not him. So the body is indeed missing.
Mm-hmm.
The body that's in there is not related to me or my brother or my cousin.
So this is all a fabrication, and without a doubt. So this, I mean, as you are delving into this, I mean, this is not what this is ended up being a life. It seems like a lifetime commitment for you to get to the truth.
It's true. It's true. Mm. Yes, the last 30 years, I've been pretty well retired, worked on it, tried to get it all straightened out. And even I get confused some days.
Well, I got to imagine the way this has all been worked out. But this is, you know, when you've got a powerful government that is taking control, and this is something that we've learned from history, that he who controls a nation's history not only controls the past, but has a direct effect on the future. I mean, what would it have been like had... you know, had Louis the 17th gone on to become king?
Yes, and it could very well have happened, because his uncle, the brother of his father, did go back on the throne. Louis the 18th did go. The monarchy came back. The revolution didn't work, so they brought back the monarchy. And yes, he was supposed to reign, Louis the 17th, but his uncle took over.
Well, Charles, what is the French government saying about this find now?
They won't answer. Believe it or not, I wrote 4 letters to the president and 4 letters to the prime minister, and not one would answer. They have no answer. They can't.
Can you take this to the UN?
I don't know where to go next, but it's a suggestion.
Yeah, you think the international body would be interested in this?
Yes.
You know,
especially since there are 2 death certificates. There's one in France for the young boy, and another one in Holland.
Yes.
For the real death of Louis the 17th. You can't have 2 death certificates in Europe. That's you know the EU.
Right, exactly.
He has lost.
Well, and I take it you're continuing research efforts on this project, right, Charles?
I am. Yes.
It is the one that will never end. As we summarize and wrap this up, and I appreciate your story and all your hard work. This has been, 30 years and a lifetime of research. What do you want people to take away from your book?
I just hope that the story goes out and gets covered like you're doing, and I thank you very, very much, because that's what I need, is just to have the story get out.
Yeah, exactly. We continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. Charles Louis de Bourbon has been our guest. He is the great-great-grandson of the real Louis the 17th. Charles, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
the answer to be